Greetings, good folks, and we're moving on to the next session. First, let me say that was a great session, particularly given the fact that we lost a speaker and we were able to substitute some speakers. It went well. This topic is on joint ventures with private parties. This is a great topic. It's always been a hot topic with the IRS. I think the ruling was 1998. Since then, it's been a big deal. And executive management is starting to become aware of this the more we get into joint ventures. It's not necessarily that popular in higher ed until recently. So it's a timely topic as well. So very quickly, we have Colby Rogers with Ropes and Gray in Boston. And we have Tom Schrader with Davis, Wright & Tremaine. And this is great. You've got two really qualified attorneys from highly reputable firms who are really going to bring this issue to bear. And there's a lot of good information here. So on that note, I turn it over to you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Ed. I spoke on joint ventures last year with Brittany, and I think, despite Ed's comment, I think some of this you may have heard about joint ventures sort of ad nauseum. And the rulings we're talking about are, the last one was 20 years ago. So it's been some time. But I think joint ventures are coming up sort of always. And so what we wanted to do here was talk less about kind of the law and the IRS rulings, and more about sort of practically, how do you look at a joint venture agreement? And what are the provisions in the agreement that are important to the exempt organization? Proving he's a real tax lawyer, Colby's going to talk about some actual tax stuff at the end, but I'm just going to kind of walk through some of the agreements or some of the provisions and agreements that I would look at as a lawyer to exempt organizations. This is just sort of the rough outline of our agenda. The first point, and this is important both from a kind of private benefit perspective, but also UBI. So for those of you who are the tax officers at universities or accountants, if you want to ensure, and particularly if the joint venture is structured as a partnership, which most of them typically are, an LLC taxed as a partnership, then the activities of that partnership are going to be attributed back to the exempt organization to the extent of their ownership interest. So if the university wants to ensure that the revenue it receives from that joint venture is related to its tax-exempt purposes and not UBTI, it's really important to ensure that it furthers a charitable purpose. That's important both from a UBI perspective, but also it can add some legitimacy to the purpose of the joint venture. It's not that you're engaging purely in a for-profit activity. And you may want to look at your articles of incorporation to ensure that it's, you know, doesn't involve an activity that would be ultra-virus under state law. For most of the organizations here, or really any exempt organization, you can engage in, you know, business activity so long as it's not substantial. So, as I said, the joint venture guidance from the IRS is fairly old. The major ruling was in 1998, and that had to do with whole entity joint ventures, where an exempt organization was really partnering with a for-profit and putting its whole entity into a joint venture with that for-profit. So the rules on that are a little bit more substantial and important because it pertains to the whole activity of your exempt organization. In 2004, a ruling came out looking at ancillary joint ventures. So that is joint ventures that are carried on that are really ancillary to your main activities. For the majority of your institutions, I would imagine that the joint ventures you're entering into are ancillary. So that ruling is sort of the basis for the guidance, but it also relies upon what came in 1998. The real main thrust of both of those is, do the operating documents of the joint venture give the exemptor control over the activities? Because by controlling the activities, you can ensure that the joint venture is actually operated for tax-exempt purposes, and that it furthers those purposes and thus does not result in UBTI. So what does that mean? What would you want to look for when you're looking at JV agreements? So typically these are going to be LLC operating agreements. What you want is a really clear statement of purpose that indicates that the joint venture is going to be operated for tax-exempt purposes.